There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Chakra Way Meditation Podcast. Today I'm talking to Kathy White, and Kathy is a yoga teacher. And amongst many other things, she also teaches meditation and mindfulness, and she's also an art psychotherapist. So many beautiful modalities to draw on. But I wanted to speak to her, yoga teacher to yoga teacher, about yoga as we age. Now, I know that there are so many people out there who say, oh, it's too late to start yoga, or I can't do yoga, I'm too stiff, or, oh, I tried it and I didn't enjoy it. And in this conversation, we are trying to bust down those beliefs, because yoga is not about being flexible. Yoga is about getting in touch with your body, with understanding your body, with manipulating the energy of your body and becoming friends with your body, understanding its limitations, its foibles, its limits. So Kathy has developed a very beautiful system alongside Francisco Cayute, and this Cayute method is really interesting way of practicing yoga, and she focuses on joint renewal. She has a joint renewal system, which I think as we get older, oh my God, so important. Like, if we can keep our joints going, we got it good. So I hope that you take a lot of good stuff away from this conversation and enjoy. Okay, here we go. Okay, so welcome. Today I'm talking to Kathy White. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you, Roseanne. Great to be here.
Yes, it's lovely to meet you. So Kathy is a yoga teacher. She has made quite a few strings to her bow. We are fellow yoga teachers, which is a lovely thing to have in common. It's always interesting to talk to other yoga teachers and find their perspective. So just before we get started, tell me just a little bit about your journey, how you got to where you are, when did you become a yoga teacher, all of that sort of thing.
Okay, well, I came across yoga first of all in the 1990s, so, you know, aging myself here, just I was in my 20s then.
Yeah.
And it was a good antidote to the sort of aerobics of the 80s. You know, I remember going to some hot, sweaty aerobics classes and going, not for me.
I'm like you. That was exactly me as well.
I would come out just like a beetroot going, no.
Yeah.
So when I found yoga, it was much more in keeping with my personality, my style. And I developed my own practice. And then in 2000, I did a Shivananda Hatha Yoga teacher training, which is a sort of bog standard, as if you were. Lots and lots of people have done that training. It's a very good comprehensive, gives you really a lot about the yoga philosophy and background to yoga, the ancient tradition, which this 5,000-year-old tradition, really good grounding. And I, a few years later, came across a teacher who was taught by Wanda Scaravelli. I don't know if you know Wanda's work. Yeah. And Awakening the Spine is probably, in my opinion, one of the best books on yoga to actually look at, because it gets into what I would say the essence of yoga. So much of what we are taught or that we understand from the West is all about the postures and the shape of the postures and how you do it and how long do you hold and this, that, and the other. And it's like, no. Go much, much deeper with that. Go into the essence of it. And I think Wanda describes the essence beautifully. So I worked with this Scaravelli teacher for many years. We co-taught a couple of times. And then I came into menopause, or perimenopause, as they say, and started hot flushing, started in being an insomniac. And for me, one of my symptoms of perimenopause was my joints began to really hurt.
Yes.
And this was incredibly embarrassing because I was a yoga teacher.
Tell me about it. I'm so with you on that. You know, whenever I have something, you know, my knee starts aching or my foot is hurt, so I'm just like, I can't tell people. It's so embarrassing. And completely.
Yeah. So that kind of, you know, like not, I mean, I remember talking to Louise, who was my yoga teacher at the time, and saying, you know, hey, I've got this knee issue. What do you think I could do? And, you know, she gave me some helpful information or tips, but it didn't really kind of get to the heart of what I was, the kind of crisis I was in was like, yoga's not working for me, or it's not helping me in my aging process. It's not helping me through menopause. It's becoming something I'm trying to, you know, do, but it's not, I'm like forcing myself to do it.
The last thing you want to do is fight with your yoga practice.
Exactly. So it sort of ceased to become a place of solace, a place of healing, which it had been for so many years. And, you know, if I backtrack a bit, part of my yoga journey was in 1996. Unfortunately, my first child was stillborn. And the journey, you know, my journey with him, and it was a full blown pregnancy. It was all fine. You know, there were no signs or symptoms that this would go the way it went. No one was expecting it. And so I kind of left my body at that point. I didn't trust my body. Yeah. And it was yoga that got me back in. It was yoga that was part of my healing path. So that, you know, if I come up to the, you know, 20 years later, then going through this perimenopausal phase and yoga's not working for me, it's like I was desperate because it had been such an integral part of my health and healing. It's like I couldn't leave it. I couldn't go off it. So I became a bit, I call this period of my life when I was a yoga junkie. So I would just go. When we were on a big trip, we took the kids. It was when we were thinking about moving to Canada. So we left Scotland. We came to Hawaii and then Canada for a 3-month big exploratory trip. Took the kids out of school. And of course, doing yoga in Hawaii, like there's these loads of yoga studios and there's yoga on the beach and there's yoga on the deck. And, you know, it was just beautiful. And I just really got back into a practice. And I say I became a yoga junkie because I didn't care with which kind of yoga I was doing. I was like Ashtanga, Iyengar, power yoga, push yoga, hot yoga, slow yoga, yin yoga, restorative yoga, moshka yoga, yoga with straps, aerobics yoga. Yeah, I didn't care. I was just like, you know what? I'm just Just do it, whatever. And because we were moving, I was kind of moving within myself as well. It's like, and I think I was breaking a lot of patterns in that of what a yoga teacher should be like, what I should be like as a yoga student, what I should be like as a yoga teacher. It just kind of all got jumbled up.
I think
which was a very good thing.
Yeah, I think it's so important for yoga teachers to step into all the other beautiful variations that have blossomed from the practice that, you know, is ancient. And, you know, speaking personally, you know, I fell in when I started doing yoga, again, like you, in the 90s, let's age ourselves, shall we? I fell into it, and I've just bought a book on yoga, and I was like, this looks like something that I want to do. And I just found the first yoga class. I didn't know that there were different types. I just thought yoga was yoga. Anyway, I happened to walk into an Iyengar yoga class. And so that was my path. And I did the Iyengar yoga teacher training, which is very much, it's posture driven. It's very alignment. But for me, I feel like it gives a beautiful foundation. And I left the Iyengar sort of association and all the rules and regulations and testing and all that behind a good few years back now, because I wanted to be able to explore other different, you know, different modalities of yoga, different ways of approaching yoga. And it's been so instrumental in, you know, in my teaching as well as my practice, as well as my philosophy, as, you know, everything. So I totally think that everybody should go to you know, a Kundalini class. I mean, that I went to a Kundalini class and I blew my mind. It was like, what? You're saying this is yoga? Wow. You know, it was so completely different to what I'd ever experienced before, but I loved it. And it opened up a new part of me, and it opened up a new way of being with my yoga. So
absolutely. Yeah. And I would say, you know, to your listeners, anyone listening who's, you know, thinking about picking up a yoga practice that they maybe had years ago, or starting a yoga practice for new that they haven't tried yoga before, to really play the field, you know, go dating.
Absolutely. No, you really do. I mean, there's a number of people who come to my class and go, I tried yoga, but I didn't really like it. I didn't like the teacher, or it wasn't for me, or, you know, and I'm like, well, then that was just the wrong class for you. You've got to keep searching, because there's a teacher out there for everybody, you know.
There is a teacher out there for everybody, and there's a style of yoga for everybody too. And I, you know, I realized, like, you know, when I was in doing my teacher training and all of that, I did need a more kind of classical hatha yoga approach. And then, you know, my Scaravelli years, and now I found Kyut, because that was what in the, you know, journey of being a yoga junkie, I then landed into this class completely randomly. It was really divine intervention, because I actually signed up for a meditation retreat with a spiritual teacher, and I was going to do it in person. This was prior to COVID, but they actually had an online online component, and I was like, oh, I want to go to, but I really can't, I'll do it online. And I'm really bad at showing up at things online, so I'll make a commitment. I'll even do the yoga. Look, they're offering yoga at 8 o'clock in the morning, before the main session, before the meditations start, and before the teacher comes on the main stage. They're even offering yoga. I'm even going to do that to make sure that I know my commitment for this spiritual retreat is anchored. And it turns out the yoga was it. I did this first class, and it was a teacher who'd been trained in the Kyut method, which I'll come on to in a moment. But, and I just, my mind was completely blown away. And this is on the back of messing around in so many different yoga modalities and fields and teachers, and just abandonment into any, you know, any method will do, it doesn't matter. And then suddenly I had this teacher, and I think because it was in the framework of a meditation retreat, and it was in the framework of being mindful within the body, it really, really spoke to me and addressed, right in that first class, addressed some issues in my knees, in my low spine, in my shoulders, touched into points of my body in such a way that I'd never really taken any time like I took the time there to experience it. So it was just, yeah, fascinating. I was like, whoa, I want more of this.
Amazing. So tell us more about this Kyute method.
Yeah, so the Kyute method, I would say is, gosh, I mean, I know Francisco has, Francisco Kyute, he's the founder of the method. He has had experience with Iyengar. So, you know, and people who've been through the Iyengar tradition kind of come to a Kyute class and they can hear the echo. You know, they can see like some of the kind of, oh yeah, this is kind of Iyengar-y.
It touches a familiarity. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It touches on that. However, Francisco's own journey, he studied chiropractic, he studied polarity therapy, so a little bit of kind of energy work, alternative work, very deeply into a kind of mindful approach. And he himself had a childhood injury. He was shot in the hip. And it was one of those crazy, terrible stories, you know, two boys playing, they get hold of a gun, it just ends, you know, badly, but luckily no one was killed. Mm. But his family never told him. So he had this incredible back pain. It happened when he was five or six or something, and he had like trauma amnesia. And anyway, the whole discovery of this injury was through a Tibetan Buddhist who was teaching yoga, so a very mindful approach of yoga. He just said to him, I think you should get that hip x-rayed. You know, whatever you're dealing with, just get an x-ray. And so he had this x-ray and discovered, and then went back to his family and they're like, yeah, well, we didn't want to tell you because it was so traumatic. And
that's crazy to withhold. Yeah.
I mean, well, yeah, and who knows what that they were, what story they were telling that they were protecting him from this.
Of course. You know, they were not doing it out of, I'm sure they were
no,
doing
No, you know, and who knows, it was in Brazil, you know, whether.
Well, what an extraordinary thing to find out that you were shot as a child.
Oh, I know, exactly.
Like, wow, okay.
So, but anyway, he then just applied what he was doing in this yoga practice. And then his second wife, I think, also came into the field, and she helped him develop this system, and he's been teaching it for over 30 years and refining it. And he has what is called the Kyute 1-100 class plans, which I teach from for the most part. Sometimes I develop my own class plans as well, but for the most part I follow, because what I understand now from the practice, and I, you know, did my first training with him 5-6 years ago, that the practice has such scope. You know, if someone walks into the class, I know I can teach them. Yeah. No matter what restriction they have, even if they have a hip replacement, knee replacement, shoulder issue, whatever, the scope of what's available within the class plans is so enormous. Wow. And the range of movement is so enormous, because what he's done is like he's broken every single yoga pose down to its essential components. So we're not doing fancy poses. We're not doing a bridge.
Yeah.
We're not doing kind of pretzel poses, as I call them.
Yes.
Instagram yoga, you know.
So let's get started. Because if we start ranting about Instagram yoga, I feel like we'll
go off on a tangent. We'll never come back.
Exactly. Just know, people out there, that what you see on Instagram yoga wise, unless it's somebody going, this is real yoga and I'm falling over and I'm doing very little that's impressive. Yeah, those back bends in the middle of the road and stuff. Oh, God. Oh, they drive me crazy. But yeah, let's not go there. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I then kind of wanted to put out into the world was like this amazing practice. And it's like every time I say, oh, yeah, I'm teaching Kyute yoga, and people are like, what's Kyute? And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. And I was always going back to the drawing board and always having to explain it. So I said, okay, what is it that I do that's been really helpful in my own practice, everything else? It's the first layer is it's the joints. Rather than it being about stretching, rather than it being about taking the shape of the pose, mm-hmm. it's about what is going on in each joint.
Yes.
And seeing that each joint is actually its own energy system. I mean, I know your podcast is like the chakra way. Yeah. And it's like, yes, we have our energy systems in our chakra system, but every joint is like a mini chakra.
Absolutely. I'm pretty convinced that there are what 70 odd chakras within our bodies. So yes, of course, there's chakras in the shoulders and chakras in the hips, that many ones, the people focus on the main Sushumna chakras, the seven, but yeah, I know that's absolutely right. We have energy centers all throughout our body, and of course they are at the joints. That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
One of my fun kind of, I don't know, little gleeful moments is always when somebody who comes to me to my classes and they've got a very kind of what should I say, firmly established view of them being good at yoga or an established yogi or something like this.
Yes.
And then I'll have them with legs up the wall and they're like, well, that's easy. And then I'll have them flex their feet and then I'll keep them there for 5 minutes. And their ankles are screaming. It's like, yeah, we're doing ankle joints this morning.
Yeah.
It's like, that's it. And then they extend your arms back and then we'll hold that. And we're not holding because we're passive. We're just placing our joints into a position. And of course, if you can't do it, you take your arms out and you can have your arms here or whatever. And some people have a shoulder injury and they have one arm up and one arm down. Mm-hmm. But to actually spend the time inside the joint, breathing, watching, noticing, listening, feeling what's going on there is it's so restorative.
Yeah.
And I think the whole missing piece of yoga is like how we've adopted it in the West is that we've taken our normal frame of reference, which is busy, 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 go, 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 agitate, agitate,
achieve,
get out there, achieve. Action, achieve, yeah. Bigger, better, faster, more. And yeah. We've just done that to yoga.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like, who can do the biggest, baddest backbend? It's not the game that most people want to play. And I think, you and I have been practicing yoga for, 30 years or whatever. We've been doing it for a long time. And I know that when I was in my 20s, my body would just do whatever I asked it to because it was 24 years old. And of course, it blooming well did everything I wanted it to. I was young and flexible and strong. But naturally, I was lucky I had a flexible body to begin with. So it's probably why yoga appealed to me in the first place. But I feel as I'm getting older, and as you say, things begin to sort of stiffen up a little bit, joints start to become difficult. You have to adapt the way you work. And I think one of the things, and I want to talk to you more about this joint renewal thing, but one of the things that I get a lot is, you tell people I'm a yoga teacher and people go, oh, I couldn't do yoga. I'm far too stiff. Like, oh my God, you just completely missed the whole point of why you do it. And so I feel that the way that you are teaching yoga is very much speaks to that person.
Yes, yes, exactly. And to say to, anyone who says I'm far too stiff, okay, well, just come to a class where my dad's in class. My dad joins me, my mom and my dad. My mom's sort of naturally flexible and still is at the age of 87. My dad's 92.
Wow.
And he comes to yoga twice a week. And he is like as stiff as they come, you know, in his old body. And he still manages. And the big achievement for him is getting up and down off the ground. And that's amazing at 92. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of people in their 80s, 70s even, who can't get up and down off the ground.
Yeah.
And he can do it. And he's built that capacity up over the years. I mean, that started when I pivoted it during the pandemic, pivoted onto Zoom yoga.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, mom and dad could join me because they still live in the UK.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah. And they came and they're still coming.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Wonderful. That's so good. It's so beautiful. So you've taken this the Kai method, and you've created a thing called Joint Renewal System, which you're kind of is almost like a trademark sort of name mm-hmm. for the system that you've got, Joint Renewal System.
Yeah.
Now this to me sounds like a big old promise, you know, like joint renewal. Is that really, because I have always been led to believe that, you know, once the joint, we can keep a joint at a place where it is currently so it doesn't deteriorate any further, but to actually rejuvenate, to, you know, create synovial fluid, to, you know, increase the mobility of a joint. Yes, there are some things that we can do if there's the muscles, the tendons around it that need to be loosened and released and so on, and muscle tension and all of that. Yes, we can increase movement for a joint, but how are you talking about actual, like within the joint renewal? So I'm fascinated to know what your joint renewal system is.
Well, I mean, maybe just take like some examples I have of students and fellow teachers who I know within the Kyute community, who have absolutely taken a knee issue, a knee replacement, mm-hmm. and gained a whole different relationship to that new knee that they have. There are people who have avoided surgery, who've been on a waiting list. And thank goodness there's a waiting list, because they had time. It's like, well, I might as well fill this time doing something.
Yeah.
And then they come into the Kyute world and they realize that actually they don't need surgery. They just need to understand what's going on. There are people, who have bone on bone.
Yeah,
But they've learned how to be with that. They've rewired because it's rewiring the brain as much as the joint itself. So we're looking at what the pain response is, because if there's always an avoidance of pain, and you know, so many teachers and I understand why they say this, will say, oh, if it's painful, don't do it.
Mm.
Okay. And if you're doing acrobatic yoga, that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not teaching an acrobatic yoga. I'm teaching people to be very, very slow and move really slowly into something. And so they will go into the pain. They'll be on. And where I say is there's a sweet spot. It's a Goldilocks zone. It's like where it's not too much pain. It's not too little.
Yeah.
But the optimum level of like, oh, and then they gain a whole new relationship with that joint. It's like, oh, it's safe. It's okay. So it's as much of a mind game as a physiological, biological.
Yeah. When I'm teaching and people are doing something that's challenging, I always say, you know, you know the difference innately between good pain and bad pain. Like there's good pain where you're feeling a good stretch and you're like, oh, that's quite satisfying. You know, you feel it's a good pain. And then there's bad pain where like, it's sharp, it's unpleasant, is that the sort of difference that you're talking about? Is that where you're asking people to be within that, what I call good pain?
Yeah. And actually, you know, I don't usually use the word pain, because that in itself has so many associations for people, right?
Yeah.
So what I tend to say is, you know, say we're doing a forward flexion, we're in Sukhasana, we're coming forward we're doing a forward flexion, and it's really going into the hips. Mm-hmm. And so I'll say, okay, bring yourself forward. And the moment you start to feel the discomfort, I call it discomfort.
Right.
The moment you start to feel the resistance, the tightness, the tension, the blockage. So mm-hmm. I'll use that kind of language yeah. around
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
just stop there. Stop on that moment you feel it, and then just hang out with it yeah. and be with it.
Yeah.
And allow yourself to experience it.
Breathe through it.
Absolutely. And see if you can soften around it. Now, if the tension builds, you need to come out. Mm. But if it's okay, you might even be able to go further into it. You might even be able to approach it at a deeper level. Just yeah. see, play where you are at that level.
So, I mean, I'm totally with you on that. You know, like finding that place where you are, your sort of edge, you know, you're on the precipice of mm-hmm. what you can do and what you can't stand, if you mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Is definitely the place where things begin to shift, where yes. you begin to make progress. That's so this yeah. so your joint renewal system, if you like, is just being really mindful about being in that space, being in that place yeah. and learning to tolerate and become friends with it, I guess.
Absolutely. Become friends with it, and to keep the nervous system relaxed when you're in it.
Yeah,
because that's the other key part, is that we don't heal when we're in our parasympathetic or sympathetic nervous system. We only heal when we're in parasympathetic mode, mm. when we're in our rest and digest, our restore mode. So the nervous system has to be like, you have to be breathing. So I'll often use breath as a barometer.
Yeah.
So that if people are noticing that their breath has become a little bit shallow or tight, or they're kind of holding their breath, then, you know, and I can sometimes, I'm in the studio, I'm like, breathe, everybody, and everyone will just laugh because yeah. I can just feel they're all, that everyone yeah. collectively has done Absolutely. A hold on the breath, you know. So that ability to be restful, even while you're working at quite a deep level and with quite some quite strong sensations sometimes. I mean, for me, myself personally, my shoulders were rigid and I didn't even realize how rigid they were doing. And I was avoiding the rigidity in the postures I was doing in my previous practice. I would just kind of move myself around and I would bend my elbow and I would just, you know, have it in a position where it wasn't too uncomfortable. Well, just taking my arms back, it was like, oh my God, that just touches right into where if I was going to see a massage therapist, where the massage therapist would put their thumbs and start working.
Yes.
And so I just over a period of about 6 months dramatically changed my shoulders. And had I not found the Kyute method, I think I would have just carried on at my computer and doing all the, you know, scrolled on me on my phone and all the things which the shoulder girdle is suffering from.
Yeah.
And just kept avoiding it with my yoga poses.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So this actual investigation, this curiosity into every single joint in the body from many different angles, we're always trying to create variety. So there's lots and lots of different angles, ways into each joint to renew them.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah. It's fascinating. And I think that, you know, we all are getting older. You know, even if you're only in your 20s, you're still getting older, and things change and things shift. And so it's really, I think, important that we investigate these new ways of working. You know, like I, exactly as you did, I, when the online thing sort of sprung up and everyone started doing Zoom yoga back in 2020, I was doing a sort of a community class, and I invited everybody and anybody to join. And my mum joined for a bit. And, but she couldn't quite keep up, and she didn't like doing it online. And she's got dodgy knees. She did get it for a bit, but she's, her knee really gives her pain. She's 80. And so I'm like, and I just wish that she kept going with it, or that I was able to do one-to-ones with her so I could just, you know, but when you've got like 20 people on your screen and you're like, mum, you know, everyone's like, now, yeah, hang on, who am I?
Hang on, mum. Yeah. When I teach my parents, I call them by their first name, so it doesn't sound, it's like, okay, Tony, okay, Francis.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Well, that, I mean, people know that they're my parents, it's very sweet, but yeah, it just, yeah, it doesn't have that same kind of mom.
So, I mean, but as we get older, so yoga as we age needs to adapt, right? We need to adapt our practice. And what I find interesting, and I did notice that there was a lot of teachers who as they became older, they kind of, they didn't do so well. Their bodies didn't do so well because they were, you know, and my current teacher, oh my God, I don't know how old she is. She's probably nearly touching 80, and the things that her body can do are incredible. So this is not to say across the board by any stretch of the imagination, but there were a few teachers that I noticed that were, you know, who couldn't do any practice towards the end, but because for me they were restricting themselves, well, because I can't do it like that, I'm not going to do it, or I can't do it, you know, that. But I think there's a beautiful there's something very beautiful about adapting your practice to suit yourself. Yes. Because, you know, for all of those people who go, I can't do it, I'm too stiff, or I like cycling, so that's what I do, or I like going to high interval intensity interval training or lifting up weights or whatever, that's what I do. But you're going to have to adapt your physical practice as you age, right? So how do you I don't know, as a teacher, I guess I'm asking you, sort of teacher to teacher, I've been teaching one group that I in my local village, I'm teaching them for 15 years, and they're all well into their late 70s now, but because I've been teaching them for 15 years, they can still do exactly what they did, you know, 15 years ago. And every so often they turn to each other and go, gosh, I wouldn't have been able to do this. You know, I can't believe I can still do this. This is so amazing, you know, as they sort of climb up in their 70s. You know, they're still doing their shoulder stand, they're still doing, you know, all of the rest of it. That maintenance thing is amazing. But if you start in a place where my mum is, for example, you know, already stiff, already with a bad knee, you know, with the cartilage disintegrating, all the sort of the bits of the joints beginning to crumble because of age, and that is what will unfortunately happen to a lot of people. How do you address that? How do you sort of deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it can be done from a chair. And we do use props, so bolsters, lots and lots of bolsters and cushions, you know. It like, if you can't touch the floor, then you bring the floor up to you. That kind of thing. And it's what more than anything, and coming back to the kind of mindset piece, is that people need to feel confident that they can do it. So, you know, that's I guess as a teacher, that's my biggest challenge, is to, especially with new students, is to instill in them this confidence that I can, rather than I can't.
Yeah.
And especially if there is some issue, you know, shoulder issue, knee issue, whatever.
Yeah.
And to not feel like my job as a teacher also is to not let them feel like, oh, they have to do it in a special way. You know, like sometimes I'll have a student in a class and they're struggling with something. I'll have everyone, no one will know and they won't know, but I'll have everyone do an adapted version of a sequence. And I'm actually getting everyone to do that adapted version so that that student doesn't feel like it's a special class for them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not kind of pointing them out. So that sense of inclusion is really important. Mm. And the sense, instilling the sense of I can, I have confidence. I have confidence in my body, because that's part of the kind of mindset game, is people have lost confidence in their body. They don't trust their body anymore.
Yeah.
And so, and I really, really believe that as long as we're living on this planet, our bodies have the innate capacity for healing. They really do. And a lot of what we think about aging, the more I investigate longevity and aging, and there's huge amount of research, because there's all these boomers aging now and they're like, hang on a minute, what is this thing called aging, and do we have to, and what's, you know, what can I take, and what can I do, and how can I exercise? And there's huge amount of research coming up about longevity and aging, and most of what I'm discovering is that a lot of the assumptions we make are actually not true, or don't have to be true.
But we do make, oh my God, we make so many assumptions, don't we? Because our vision of old age is what our grandparents went through, which is, you know, decades out of date now. You know, yes. It just doesn't have to be like that. You know, I mean, it used to be that somebody who is my age, 53, would be, you know, oh, middle-aged, you know, you can't wear anything that's too, you know, like everything's changed. Everything's changed. Like, you know, you can be as wonderful as you want to right up until, when, you know, forever.
Yeah.
With that attitude. And is this where you bring in a certain amount of mindfulness into your
teaching? I mean, just the mindfulness piece is, first of all, just in calming everything down, calming the system down, and then introducing possibility. Mm. So being really like noticing where you're stuck in a story. Like often I'll say, like, yeah, maybe there's some tightness or tension in your shoulder. Don't give it a story. Just meet it in this present moment. Because, you know, you'll come with like, oh, it was this injury or that injury. And actually, we don't know where things come from.
Yes, exactly. Like I have a student who can't sit on their heels. The knees are just too stiff and painful. And so we work gently and we do what we can. But, you know, they're always saying, well, that they just don't go. They just don't move. They just don't do this. They just, you know, and it's kind of like it's an accepted, this is my limitation, and there's no shifting it. It's just what it is. So that's why I agree with you. You know, that is absolutely a story that they're telling themselves. Who knows why their knees are like they are, but telling yourself that it's never going to change is never, it's not going to be a good outcome, is it? Well, the outcome could be good with a little shift of attitude. It's that bringing in that positivity. And I've started recently getting my students to sit, because you always just sit and breathe, a little bit of mindfulness, a couple of ohms at the beginning of class, and bringing gratitude into, and I used to always say gratitude for, you know, whoever you think of in your life that's gratitude. And now I try and also bring them into, like, let's be grateful for our feet, let's be grateful for our knees, you know, like not, you know, like we just take one at a time. So we'll spend like a couple of minutes, just like, let's just give our knees some love, like literally just send them some heartfelt love.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that is moving the energy around your body, like taking that energy from your love in your heart and in your soul, giving it to your knees. They are energetic beings, exactly what you were saying at the beginning.
Yes.
You know, each joint has energy, and we can affect energy with thought. We know this.
We do. And that's absolutely it. You know, sending love to our bodies, ourselves, and also our thoughts too. Like just noticing, like we can get into spiraling thoughts, which are, you know, really unkind sometimes towards ourselves. And, you know, if we heard, I sort of say, if we heard what goes on in our heads, if we heard that spoken out loud to somebody else, we'd be like shocked, like, yeah, shut up. That's not kind. You know, don't say that.
Oh my God, no way. Absolutely. I would not accept that.
Yes. No. But then we merrily go on. I mean, not merrily, like viciously go on,
yes,
saying those things to ourselves and, you know, trying to notice the mind and just bringing the mind back to the breath so that you can pause and interrupt those destructive thoughts, and then shifting them into what are the seeds of kindness that I can plant here now,
yeah,
towards myself, towards the world, towards everyone.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely exactly, that's beautiful. And it seems like it, that's because I've kept you on for a while now, but I think that's a really beautiful place to end our conversation for now. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling, Kathy, that I'm going to have to get you back for a part two, because I feel like I'm just looking at my list of questions that I had from you, and I think I've literally asked you one. And you know, I feel like it's really useful. It's just really lovely to speak to, you know, obviously I've got loads of yoga teacher friends, but it's really nice to get new perspective. And this kait is not a method or a person that I'm familiar with. So I'm really excited to go and do some investigation. And just,
yes, absolutely. Well, I invite you to come join a class. I'll send you a link to.
Oh, would you? I would love that.
I will. Yeah, come join.
I would really love that, because I would be fascinated. And like, what can people find if you got a website? What can I give?
Yes, if anyone wants to join the classes, then they can book on my website. It's www.kathywhiteyoga. That's Kathy with a K, White with an I, like the color, yoga.com. So kathywhiteyoga.com. And if they go on that front page, if they want to download, there's a free guide to the joint renewal system where I explain in more detail how it works and what we're actually doing in the practice. So they can download that for free. And that gives them, it's available from inside my membership. So I have a free area in my membership. So there's a couple of videos, there's some things, me talking a bit more, and there's more kind of bonuses inside the free membership area. So they can do all of that. And then if they want to book a class, it's also on that front page of my website. There's a book a class button, and that'll take them through the process.
Fantastic. Well, that's wonderful. I will go and be checking that out, and I will look forward to seeing you on the mat. And then, yes, and then, you know, we should talk again. And you
that
know,
would be lovely, Rosanne. Yes. Well, I've really appreciated this conversation. Lovely synergy, and I feel like two like minds coming together. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, we'll see you again, Kathy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me again on the Chakraway Meditation Podcast. I hope you really enjoyed this conversation. I really did. I loved meeting Kathy, and I think I agree. There was a great deal of synergy. When yoga teachers get together, there's always going to be... Well, we enjoy ourselves. I hope you enjoyed it as well. And of course, getting hold of Kathy is easy. kathywhiteyoga.com, and all of her information and classes and so on are there. If you are in the UK and you want to try out one of her classes, I think she does them on a Wednesday and a Monday at 5:30 in the evening. And if you're in the US, then you'll be able to catch her fairly easily on her Canada, which is in Vancouver, so whatever time zone that is. And then, of course, if you want to reach me, I'm always available via my website, chakra-way.com. And
I also wanted to remind you that I put these podcasts on YouTube as a video pretty much the minute that I've finished doing the interview. I don't edit it, I just chuck it onto YouTube because not many people watch. But if you are a visual person, go and check out Kathy and me in conversation. It's always nice to see the body language, the expressions. I enjoy that anyway, so, you know, and it's just us two sitting on screen on Zoom, but it's still nice. So I will be back again with more good conversation very soon, and of course with more meditations. And if you want to get in touch, I love to hear from you. So I look forward to that, and thank you so much. You have a beautiful day. Take care. Bye now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.